John chapter 15, beginning with verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And these are the words of Jesus. And this is actually a part two of what you heard last week. If you heard the sermon last week, we heard the first part of John chapter 15 when Jesus talked about the vine and the branches. He is the vine, we are the branches. And remember, keep in mind, Jesus said these words on Thursday of Holy Week. The night, later that night, he would be arrested. And then the next day, die on the cross, where indeed he would show how much he loved us. And so this is part two. Jesus is continuing on with this theme. And we are exactly where we need to be, connected to the vine. Because when we're connected to the vine, we are safe. And it says right here, Jesus says, when we're connected to the vine, we will bear fruit. Even when we don't realize it, we are bearing fruit. You know, when we're connected to the vine, we can't help but bear fruit. Because remember, it's not us doing anything. It's the fact that we're connected to the vine, Jesus, that we are able to produce fruit. And so now Jesus is telling us, the words I just read, how this is all going to take shape. And it revolves around that four-letter word, love, which is what he talks about in these verses. And I want to read verse 12 and 13 one more time to you, where Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." This seems very commanding of Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't seem very gospel-y. You know, this seems just too hard, Jesus. I mean, there are some people, you know, I like to love, like my wife Zara, my daughters, Grace, Hope, Joy, Glory. And I like to love the Green Bay Packers. Well, most of the time, right? Sometimes there's a lot of emotions going on in my house, and it's a little bit harder some weeks. So those kinds of things are easy, right? To love our family and those people that are around us. But then there are people that would be a little bit harder. You know, people who rub me the wrong way, Jesus. How am I supposed to love them? How about those people that constantly disagree with me? Am I really supposed to love them? Or how about those people that don't look or sound like me? Do I have to love them? What about that criminal? Am I supposed to love him? And what about that person that said something nasty to me? Certainly, Jesus, there could be some leeway there. And what about that person that cut me off on I-69? How can I love that person? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's like that person down at the end of the row. Don't look down at the end of the row. I can't stand people like that, right? And Jesus, you want us to love these people? How can we possibly love as Christ loved us? Hold that thought. Because first, I think we need to look at a difference here between the way humans love and the way God loves. You know, sometimes our love, our human, us humans, is fickle. For example, listen to this letter that a woman wrote. Dearest Jimmy, no word could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since the breaking of our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me, Jimmy. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S., congrats on winning the state lottery. So what do you think of when you hear the word love? Is it a feeling, an emotion, or something else? Is it conditional, unconditional? You know, we humans have no problems loving something or someone that is lovable, right? Think of a puppy or a kitten. Who doesn't love a puppy or a kitten? I know there's some sickos out there that don't. But how about that good friend? How about nature? Nature, we love nature. Or sports teams. We all are passionate about sports teams. Well, most of us. You know, sometimes this kind of love gets us in trouble because all those things I just listed can change. You know, those cute puppies become dogs that may or may not listen to you. That good friend may end up stabbing you in the back. Nature can sometimes turn on us. We saw all those terrible tornadoes in Iowa and in the West. And then those sports teams. I used to love Aaron Jones, the running back of the Green Bay Packers. And now he's with the Minnesota Vikings, the enemy. I can't love him anymore. You see how it changes? It can change so easily. Everything is beautiful in its time, but it doesn't last forever. You know, we find what is pleasing and beneficial to us and love it if it meets our needs as us humans. Our love becomes limited, or we could say conditional. It can just simply be hard to love all people, right? I think part of the problem is we have only one word in the English language for love. And so I've had the privilege of doing a number of weddings here at Promise. And one of the things we talk about in the premarital classes is this word love. And so I saw a couple of those couples here. I saw Adam and Alyssa, Eric and Allie, and I'm going to have them come up and explain the differences between the love here. I'm kidding, guys. But if you've been to one of the weddings I performed, I usually talk about this in my message, because in the Greek language, which is what the New Testament was written in, the Greek language has different words for love. They have phileo, which is that brotherly kind of love, which is where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. There's storge love, which is the family kind of love. It's a different, little bit different kind of love. There's eros love, which is that sensual, romantic love. And then there's another one called agape love. And this is the love that is used the most in the Bible. And this is the kind of love that is a sacrificial love, being willing to sacrifice for the other. And I tell those couples, this is the kind of love you want to base your marriage on, not those other kinds of loves, because they can kind of come and go. But this one is a commitment kind of love. And so just for example, when you look at John 3:16, you know, the most popular verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world, the word there is agape. It's not for God so loved the world that he had warm affections for us. No, he had the kind of love that he committed to us and sacrificed for us. It just makes a little bit more difference. And the way we use love now, it's kind of become watered down. You know, I love Zara. I love my daughters. I love pizza. I love tacos. You see how it can become watered down? Because obviously I don't love pizza as much as my wife. Seriously, Zara. But it can become watered down, and we just throw this word love around. And what does it really mean? We're very fickle people. And thankfully, Christ's church is not built on human love. It's built on God's love, which is what I wanted to finish here with you today. So what is love? Well, the answer is for us right here in 1 John chapter 4. See, John liked to talk a lot about love in his gospel and then in his letters in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He talks a lot about love. And here is what love is. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And agape is the one that's used in this passage that I just read. And so, how much does God love you? Well, on the screen, God is love. That's the answer to what is love. God. It's as simple as that. And so, how much does God love you? Well, Jesus told his disciples on that first Thursday of Holy Week how much he loved them. So much that he gave his life up for them and for each and every one of you. That's how much he loved us. He gave his life. Secondly, which is very cool, Jesus calls us friend. He calls you friend here. Did you catch it in John 15? You are no longer servants. You are my friends. It reminds me of that hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Jesus is your friend. Isn't that cool? And then he tells us this is how much he loves us. He calls us friends. He gave up his life for us. And then he tells us he chose you. He did everything for us. We did not choose him. He chose us. He chose Rhett, who was just baptized in the waters of holy baptism, to be his son. You know, we are flawed. We are poor, miserable sinners. We don't deserve anything from God. But he loves us that much that he gave his life for us. He calls us his friends. And he chose us. He did the work for us. You know, we depend on him. Because he is the source of all life. So how can we possibly love? I asked this earlier. How can we possibly love as Christ loved us? Because if you notice in John 15, this wasn't a suggestion from Jesus. This wasn't a recommendation from Jesus. This was a command from Jesus that we love one another. A command. And so how can we love as he loved us? It all goes back to what we talked about last week, and it was mentioned a number of times in the reading today. It goes back to the abiding. The importance of us abiding in Christ. Abiding in the vine. Staying connected to the vine. And no matter what we do here at Promise, as long as we stay connected to the vine, we can love as Christ loved us. And it's as simple as that. Amen. Let's pray.